a much more immediate and dramatic confrontation over natural resources and human rights has been playing out right here in our own country. With far less press coverage than it deserves, the battle between local and federal law enforcement on the one hand and Native American activists and advocates on the other has boiled over into bloody violence. Militarized police have employed unconscionable tactics against peaceful demonstrators, leading to numerous injuries and, it now appears, even the loss of a limb for one young woman. Joining me right now is Leanne Eastman, a member of the Sisseton Wahpeton Sioux tribe, who has been on the front lines of this shameful conflict. Leanne, thank you so much for making time to be with us on State of Belief Radio.
Yes.
Please let me say how very sorry I am at what's happening to your community. Would you start with just a very brief summary of how the conflict started and how long it's been going on?
Yes, people started to first gather in around February of this year, and there was only a handful of people. They started to camp on the land, and from there, they started to receive support. From there, it was still like a handful, 10, 15 people holding it down until they actually started bringing bulldozers and things in. That was like at the end of July. It started to get crazy, so people started to come. That's around the time that I came. I've been at the camp now for 3.5 months.
Leanne, tell us what it's like around you. What do you see as you look around where you are now?
Well, the camp is just beautiful, especially right now, because, of course, it's Native Month, and I know a lot of, right now, people are trying to celebrate this holiday, but at the camp, of course, we're calling it the Thanks-taking, and then this is going on in Standing Rock, so it's beyond me.
Last Sunday saw terrible violence directed at the demonstrators. Would you talk about what happened last Sunday?
Yeah, you're talking about the night of the water, the freezing water, the sound cannons, or the sound gurneys, or whatever. I don't even know the correct terms for all these things. Yeah, that went on, I would say, for over 24 hours. It started around in the evening, and it just progressed on into the next day, into the afternoon, and I think the evening. People at the bridge, I saw a lot of people up there with the peaceful demonstration, you know, and were protectors. You know, I got tear gas, those rubber bullets, when they shot them at the crowd, I was right in there in the vicinity of all of that, and it was scary. I couldn't hear. I couldn't take a deep breath. I was running. I couldn't see. It was scary. I was like, this is exactly like a war zone. Mm-hmm. And then for them to be spraying cold water on people.
Has the situation changed in the days since those harsh attacks?
No, it's the same. I think that every day that goes by, it's getting worse and worse. I can tell you that I don't sleep well at night. A lot of people don't, and a lot of people don't even sleep well at all. A lot of people are in the same boat as me. You know, sometimes a gunshot, sometimes, you know, you can hear the sound cannon. One night there was a fire started. Like, I don't know if that was to intimidate us, but it was all burning towards the camp. No fire department was deployed. This fire was burning for like several hours, 4, 5, 6 hours. You never know when something's going to happen. It could happen 3 o'clock in the morning or at noon. You don't know. It's like a literal war zone. Like helicopters and planes flying over the camp 24 hours a day, especially at night. These planes and helicopters are flying over the camp illegally with no lights on. And it's kind of strange after they're flying over the camp that there's a heavy smell of gas or some sort of, I don't know what it is that they're spraying, but you could smell it, and it's really, really obvious that it's coming from these planes with no lights on that are flying over the camp at night. And there's several people here that are sick, including me, that I got sick with pneumonia. People's asthma is flaring, rashes. People are getting infections and ending up in the hospital. It's not right. They think that they can do whatever they want to us. And whatever they do, they'll just go on the news and they'll do a press conference and they'll talk about, for instance, oh, we were spraying water on them because there was a lot of fires. We got to put them out. That's what they said. And everybody believes them, but the videos, the live streams that you can see on Facebook clearly show that they're spraying people just to spray them for hours. No fires. So they lie. They straight up lie. The police department lies. You know, these people in North Dakota think they could do whatever they want to Native Americans because they've been doing that for hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. You know, and we've had enough. We're not going to take it anymore. We're going to do whatever we can peacefully to stop this. Because everybody deserves clean drinking water. Everybody. Mm-hmm. It's not about color. It's not about race or how you fall in politically or anything like that. I don't understand how people don't think about their children and their grandchildren and their children. What are they going to drink? I think we're living in a very, very scary time. And this is a war zone in the state of North Dakota, in treaty territory. This land rightfully belongs to the Ojibwe-Shakowee. Ratified treaty. They need to remember that.
Leanne, given the terrible conditions that you're having to endure, what is it that's keeping you and other activists and allies from giving up?
Because our ancestors prayed for us 7 generations ago. They knew this was coming. They talked about the black snake that was going to come. And they prayed for the strength for 7 generations down that we would be able to endure this. And if they believed in us back then, if they were praying for us back then, that we would be able to handle this and kill this black snake, you know, these are my people. They're putting a pipeline through sacred burial grounds. You know, if we did that in Arlington Cemetery or, you know, any cemetery, people would be serious. Mm-hmm. You know, if we went into a church, anybody's church, their place of prayer, and demolished it, they would be mad. You know, the land is our church. This place specifically that our tribal historic preservation officers have went out, looked over this land, surveyed this land, they know that it's been a place of prayer for hundreds of years. You know, a place of gathering for our people, and they were told this. These things are here, and by law, they were supposed to go around it.
Leanne, with great respect for your religion and spirituality, I'd like for you to talk for just a minute about the teachings of Dakota spirituality that come into play here.
First and foremost, for our people, it's about family. And to us, we are all related. We're all family. Doesn't matter. It's always about family. Instead of thinking of ourselves, we think of one another. You know, that's what strengthens the community. We're all out here fighting for the water. And yes, it's because of the values that were instilled in me growing up in a very, very traditional home that gives me the strength and the courage that I need to fight to keep our water clean. A lot of people say the word Miniwachoni. The name of this Missouri is Minishoshe. That's what our people called it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very sacred. Miniwaka, very sacred water. So we have to respect that because without water, you cannot live. There's no life. Water is life. Miniwachoni, you know, I don't know how many times you have to say that over and over again, you know. And for me, as a Dakota woman, knowing that water is feminine, in our way of life, water is feminine. That's what pushes me even more to stand up there and do what I have to do because it is the first medicine. Mm. Water is the first medicine. Without water, you can't live. You can't grow food. You can't do anything. We're made up of water. People have to start understanding that. Like, it's not about if the pipeline's going to break. they all break. It's going to break, and it's going to affect our water, and it's going to affect it for millions of people. We're living in a scary time, but I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to leave, and there's a lot of people here that are exactly like me, and there's more to come, and they're not going to stop coming. The size of the camp right now is bigger than I've ever seen it, and it makes me feel good. When I come out of my tent, I really, and I'm like, welcome home, you know, I'm just telling people welcome home, because at the camp, that's what it feels like. It's home. It feels comfortable, and we're at home, and maybe I don't know a lot of these tribes or these people here. I feel like my spirit knows them somehow. Hmm. They're here because the same reason why I'm here, our ancestors prayed for us to be here, to come and connect, to come and join forces and to win this battle. Just like me, there's a lot of people that aren't going to back down.
Ms. Eastman, the Obama administration has not been particularly helpful on this. What are the activists there expecting once the Trump administration comes in?
Nobody really talked about it, and they were, I think it was a big fear that set in because we know what he's about, how he feels towards people of color, the indigenous people of this land. We know how he feels towards women and towards two-spirit people. It is scary. But you know what? I've also heard from a lot of leaders at this camp, you know, especially youth leaders, that, well, our people had to endure 500 years of this so far. I mean, we can endure this guy too. And it's just like strength and courage. And they're facing it like a buffalo with no fear, facing the storm.
Are there ways that people listening to this radio show right now, ways that they can be of help in the fight that you continue to face?
If people want to help, donations, 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 especially going towards winter. There is a main Standing Rock donation thing on Facebook, but there's also individual camps within the camp that people can donate to if they want. But, like, winter's coming, and you can be here. Your presence is number one. Prayer and donations.
Leanne Eastman is a member of the Susitun Wahpetun Sioux tribe on the front lines, defending native lands from militant aggression by law enforcement forces serving the interests of the Dakota Access Pipeline at Standing Rock, North Dakota. Leon, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking time to be with us. Please stay safe. I don't think I've ever done an interview more tearing than what I have heard from Leanne Eastman.